For 70 years, World War II veteran Barney Greatrex never spoke about his combat experiences until now. Yesterday, acclaimed best-selling author Michael Veitch released his new book onto the shelves, telling the remarkable story of Barney Greatrex. Michael joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, Morgan. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
No, very fine, thanks.
Excellent. Now, this is just such an unbelievable and fascinating tale. Can you give us a brief overview of Barney's story?
Sure. Well, this is the I've written quite a few books now, and several on World War II aviation, sort of talking to old airmen, the ones that are still with us. And Barney is still with us too. He's 97 years old, but he was just a very ordinary young man in the 1930s and joined the Air Force, as thousands did, and became not a pilot but a bomb aimer in bombers. He was a fellow that sat in front of the aircraft and aimed the aircraft to the target and released the bomb load over targets in Germany, as so many were flying with the bombers in Bomber Command. He was shot down. He was the only survivor of his crew of seven, bailed out just in time to get out of the aircraft and came down almost on the French-German border in Alsace-Lorraine in the middle of winter in February 1944, and was sort of wandering around for a few days and decided, well, I better... I'm going to have to do something. I don't want to get picked up by the Germans and be a prisoner, so I'll try my luck just knocking on a door in a little village. And he chose his village. He sort of watched it for a day and sort of saw people coming and going and decided to knock on the house at the very end of the row, which is what his training had spoken to him, their training had taught him. And luck it was have it, the man was connected to the French resistance, and so he was passed to them, and instead of being spirited back to England, he sort of joined the French resistance. This sort of a young, quiet, blonde boy from Sydney joined the French resistance for sort of this incredibly dramatic 7 months, because in that part of France is where the French resistance made its last stand. And he became sort of swept up in this incredible tide of history until he was... liberated after many sort of adventures, was liberated by the Americans in October 1944 and flew back to England, then eventually Australia, and basically, as many of these fellows did, just basically shut up about it for until the very end of their lives, and only started talking about it very recently. And I've been very privileged to have been commissioned by Hachette Publishers to write his story, so that's what this book is about.
You really just can't knock him down, keep him down, can you? Like, he kept getting back up and just kept fighting and trying to do his job and his duty.
This man had 9 lives to the power infinity. He just, luck just kept visiting him. I mean, just to survive, I mean, well, first not to have been killed on, because the bomber people had to do 20 missions or trips, and so many of them didn't make it. It was an incredibly dangerous occupation. They're all volunteers, we should add too, but often the chance of surviving a tour, what they called a tour in Bomber Command, was 1 in 3, which are incredibly bad odds when you think about it. Now, his aircraft was shot down by a night fighter, so he survived that. Luck had directed him to the right house, then infinite incidences of luck where he was sort of very close to the Germans, and there's one incident where his sort of minder brought him, as he was being sort of sorted out where to go, he brought him into the town of Nancy in Alsace-Lorraine, a kind of middle-sized town there, and he was sort of having lunch. He didn't speak a word of French. He just had to pretend to be a deaf mute. I think there were probably a lot of deaf mutes in France at that time, because many Allied servicemen were pretending to be so. And the Germans were all around him having lunch. And the waitress came up just as his minder had to go out, talk to someone out in the street to exchange a bit of information, and left poor Barney alone. And the waitress started coming up and saying, "Yes, sir, your order, please." And he just sort of was looking, "I can't speak French and I can't speak in English. I don't know what to do. So he just sort of shrugged. And she got more and more impatient and was to say, just give me a bloody order, for God's sake. And the Germans next to him sort of started to look strangely at him, just as his mind had rushed back and said, oh, sorry to leave you like that. And then the Germans lost interest. But if it had gone on a couple of seconds longer, the Germans would have said, hey, what's going on here? Who is this strange character? But endless incidents of being caught up in battles and just by a hair's breadth, just missing out on being captured right to the end. So he never understood why his luck held. And it's something that became a theme of his life. He just could never understand it. But, yeah, it was extraordinary.
That really is. I mean, can you just imagine the panic? You know, your heart's pounding. You're seconds away from being caught, and you just keep going forward.
Yeah, I think with a lot of the men that served in all wars and the Second World War, your nerves must have been so strained and shattered by the end of it. It's no wonder when people come back from war, they have this post-traumatic stress disorder. And in World War II, there was no such term. It was just, you know, you just got on with it. These fellows that came back after World War II were told, look, nobody back here can understand, will ever be able to understand what you've been through. There's no point in talking to them about it. Just keep your mouth shut and get on with the rest of your lives. And many of them did, but I just don't think the human physiology works that way. I think, you know, it led to a lot of people having very difficult homecomings and sometimes very sort of troubled rest of their lives, where they had to, there was no way to kind of process what had happened to them in this extraordinary sort of years and months of their youth fighting a war. I mean, there's nothing really in ordinary civilian life that can replicate, I don't think, being involved in some kind of war. And to come back to the ordinariness of just civilian life and family life often is what they said they found the most difficult. And I think Barney was no exception to that.
We're speaking with author Michael Veitch about his latest book, Barney Great Rex, From Bomber Command to the French Resistance, the stirring story of an Australian hero. Now, Michael, we've spoken a lot about this idea of service people coming back and not being able to talk and to open up to their people and the difficulty of returning to open life, to ordinary civilian life. Was it emotionally difficult for Barney or even yourself for him opening up for the first time?
Yes, he had a slight stammer before the war as a child, as a lot of kids do. But in many ways, things like nervous twitches and his stammer got worse after he'd come back, according to himself and his family. And what he'd written, and he was only really made to open up about it. Actually, before I met him, he had written something about it. I think his late wife insisted that he actually sit down and write out the story for only kind of private consumption, and the rest of his family to read. But it was the first time that he'd, in his own mind, sorted out what had happened. And this was only sort of 15 years ago. And what happened was that Knox Grammar, which is the school he went to, which is still going, of course, in Sydney, in the North Shore of Sydney, they got a collection of former old boys who had been away to war and did a little film of them. And there are about six individuals ranging from World War II to some men that had gone over to Afghanistan more recently. And then they brought that film to the publishers at Hachette, at which point Matthew Kelly, who's my publisher, said, look, this is a very interesting film, but we would really only want to do a book about Barney because his story is so remarkable. And that's how it happened. I mean, it wasn't any attempt to sort of write his own book or spread his story to the wider world. It was just what had happened to him. He never thought what happened to him was particularly remarkable. He was saying that, you know, dozens of people, 100,000 people went through similar sort of traumatic and amazing experiences, and I just happened to, this just happened to be my story. But that's how the book came about, just through, you know, his old school getting back in touch with him, and, tell us about your war. So he did, and then someone said, hey, this is one absolute corker of a story that encompasses, you know, a real kind of, I guess the word romance is a bit wrong, but certainly the drama of what happened to that country during the war. And we all think of the kind of, you know, the kind of heroes of the French resistance and the civilian population refusing to bow down to the terrible occupation that the Germans subjected them to. But it really hasn't been a story that many Australians have been involved in at all. We had Nancy Wake, who was the White Mouse, the woman who was involved in the French resistance also the war, but she's passed now. But really, Barney is the only Australian that I can think of who was actively involved in the French resistance and saw how it worked and saw the kind of often chaotic way that they carried on their resistance. But he was such a witness to history that it would have been a tragedy if the story had just been left untold, I think, which is why I was very keen to write it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity for me to chinwag on about it.
Absolutely. We were very happy to hear it.
Thank you.
That was author Michael Veitch speaking to us about his latest book, Barney Great Rex, From Bomber Command to the French Resistance, The Stirring Story of an Australian Hero. It is in stores now, so make sure you go pick yourself up a copy and be completely moved. Truly a remarkable story of an Australian hero.